Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 188 on October the 16th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Ring Energy Inc., Hut 8 Mining, and Bank of America. And we discuss three new trades on Progenity Inc., Occidental Petroleum, and the United States Oil Fund ETF. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a few videos to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know to be able to follow along with me on the show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, we had another strong week in the stock market, with both indexes finishing the week higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 548 points, closing at 35,294 points on Friday. The S&P 500 index gained 80 points, ending the week at 4,471 points. And now it's time for the topic of the week. The topic of the week this week is mining for gold. So if you've listened to this podcast for more than a couple episodes, you've probably heard me say that you must do the math. And lately I've been doing the math to mine for gold. There are roughly 586 companies that list weekly options. And those are options that expire on a weekly basis, so shorter time frames than the usual monthly options that we look at when we make trades, that I share trades on the show. So lately I've been doing lots of math on Monday morning looking for option spreads that make sense for a five-day trade. I mean, basically, I'm entering a trade on Monday that I know will expire on Friday, and I use my same rules to find trades where the math works out. This week, I bought debit spreads on two different companies. I bought $5 spreads for $3.66. In both trades, the stock price moved higher and was booking profits by day two of the trade, which is always great, especially when you buy something with a large amount of time decay like you have in expiration week. Now, when both trades expired in the money, I booked $1.34 of profit really quickly. And that's a 39% return on my capital in just 5 days. If we were to annualize that return, it'd be just silly. So the truth of the matter is that I don't have a superpower. I'm just keeping things simple and doing the math. That's what mining for gold looks like. It's digging through those 586 companies to find trades where the math works. It means finding the trades that fit your risk sensitivity for your account, right? You might not be at a point where you're comfortable buying spreads that are where you're paying several hundred dollars in order to make a couple hundred dollars. Oftentimes on this show, we talk about the $1 wide spreads or 50 cent wide spreads. We don't talk about $5 spreads, $500 spreads in real terms, right? Mining for gold also means not only just listening to this show, but using the principles to find gold. It's out there. And I consider myself an advocate for option trading. So I really hope you guys, and I know several of you are, because you email me, are actually out there trading, because it's there, and there's money to be made beyond just buying stock and hoping for the best. So I do this every week, and it's great when you have markets that are trending and it works out. So, you know, you might wonder what I actually will be doing on Monday morning. Well, I just told you, I'll be doing the math, right? So if you're guessing, what's Eric do on Monday morning? Just before the open or when the opening bell rings. I'm doing the math. I'm digging through data. And just remember, there's gold in all of that data waiting for you. So go out there and find some trades that will work for where you are in your trading journey and make some money. Because that always It's just fun. It's fun. So that's it for the topic of the week. Let's get into the trade review from last week. We looked at three trades, obviously. We'll start off with the covered call. Looked at Ring Energy Inc., symbol R as in Romeo, E as in Echo, I as in India. At the time, the stock was trading for $3.91 per share. I looked at buying stock and selling the November 4 call at 45 cents, hoping for a maximum return of 13.81% in 6 weeks. Well, Ring Energy stock lost 8 cents per share, closing the week at $3.83 per share. The call we sold lost 5 cents, leaving us with a net loss of 3 cents on the week. The stock was essentially unchanged on the week, so no real adjustments are needed for this trade. Stay abreast of where stock is trading relative to the break-even point of $3.46 per share. We are still nearly 10%, I'd say, above the break-even price, so we're in the clear at this point. Remember, our main goal with these covered calls is for the stock to rally and allow that option that we are short to take us out of the stock at expiration. Our second best option, or our second best scenario, is for the stock to remain above the break-even price, but for the call option to expire worthless so that we can keep that premium and sell another call option against the stock the very next month. So this stock, Ring Energy, is falling right in line with our goals at this point, so no need to make an adjustment. Our second trade on the week was a credit spread. We looked at Hut 8 Mining, symbol H as in hotel, U as in uniform, T as in Tango. At the time, the stock was trading for $10.43 per share. I looked at selling the November 9-8 put spread at 34 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 66 cents per spread. Well, Hut 8 Mining Corporation, their stock gained $1.79, closing the week at $12.22 on Friday. The out-of-the-money put spread we sold is even farther out of the money, so you can close the trade by buying it back in, and that would allow you to lock in a 12-cent gain on the week. Of course, with stock at this level, we're more than $3 above our highest strike. I would actually prefer to hold on to this short spread and try to keep the full 34 cents of premium that we collected when we sold the spread. So just like the first one, no adjustments are needed at this point. This trade is working out. So, and you might say, like, well, you could go ahead and sell a call spread and turn this into a, you know, turn it into an Iron Condor. The problem with that is that now you open up the possibility that as stock continues to rally, that call spread ends up in the money, and suddenly you're losing money on a trade that you're booking profit on right now. So when I have a trade that's working, I try my best not to go and mess it up. Like, the goal that I've been reminded of recently is just keep it simple. I told you guys last week that I had a bunch of complicated trades on, or really they didn't start off complicated, but as I adjusted or rolled a strike here and moved a position there and moved from 1 month to the next, I was doing all sorts of stuff. The positions were just getting kind of murky, and it became harder for me to just say, yes, I'm making X amount of money on, say, Apple options or Snapchat or something like that. So I ended up closing everything. I closed everything, which is great because I turned around and, you know, booked 30% or more, actually, on my capital this week just by keeping it simple and doing what I know to do. So when you have a trade that's working, don't go mess it up. This one's working. Leave it as a short put spread and ride it out until you get the amount of profit that you're hoping for. All right, our final trade from last week was a debit spread on Bank of America, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Apple, C as in Charlie. At the time, the stock was trading for $44.34 per share, and I looked at buying the November 43-44 call spread, paying 67 cents for the spread, which could give us a maximum gain of 33 cents, or that's a 49.25% return in 6 weeks. And you guys know, if you've listened to the show, Bank of America is one of my sweet stocks. I can always find option trades where the math works. It's just one of my go-tos. I like trading this company. So let's see. Bank of America shares rose $2.03 per share, ending the week at $46.37 per share. The in-the-money spread we bought is now even more in the money, and you could sell the spread for at least 10 cents a profit right now, but we know that that's not the optimal way to trade these debit spreads, right? It's working, so we would rather capture the full 49.25% return if the spread remains in the money. There are actually five more weeks until expiration, so keep an eye on the break-even point and where stock is trading. If Bank of America holds where it is right now or continues to go higher, this trade is going to stay in the money. It's going to remain a winner, and so no adjustments are needed. I find that buying debit spreads is one of the ways to find something that has a value, right? It has a value if it's in the money. It's just that the market is not completely honoring that full intrinsic value because of the time value of it. So the time value actually becomes a detractor because you might end up seeing, you know, the time allows for the price to go the other way. So my goal with these debit spreads is to buy something that already has the intrinsic value that I want, but I'm truly buying it for undervalue, right? I'm buying it for less than the math says that spread is worth today. And at that point, it's just really a question of whether or not stock will hold or if it's going to go in the other direction. But if stock were to hold today, then I end up making my full amount of money and thus was able to buy something for undervalued. So you think of all the various ways to price assets, right? I could price this house that I'm in. I could price this computer and microphone that I'm recording the show on. I could even price companies and streams of, you know, lines of cash flow and all of that. We can do a DCF model, or we could do something more complex. We can price bonds. All of these scenarios, right? In every one of these scenarios, your goal is typically to buy something that's undervalued and sell something that's overvalued. For me, debit spreads and credit spreads are one of the best ways to be able to say, like, hey, this is actually undervalued right now. Or in the case of credit spreads, we're going to sell it. This is out of the money. I think this is going to go to zero. And therefore, whatever I'm collecting for it now is, you know, this is overpriced and I'm going to sell it. So when it gets down to it, the way to make money in the market is always buying low and selling high. When it comes to options and everything else, it's how did you calculate your value? And your normal, like, Black-Scholes equation, and I'll get off all of this because you guys didn't ask for all of this, and this really opens up a lot more option theory. But when you start looking at, like, the Black-Scholes, you're going to have to make a lot of assumptions. Like, we have to assume that everyone is using the same risk-free rate. You're like, okay, well, the market's going to use LIBOR, or maybe the market's going to use the Fed funds rate or something like that. But that's not going to change it that much, right? We know that time is going to be a given. So time is probably the easiest of the inputs. We have a stock price. That's fine. But then you start to get into things like, you know, in the calculation, the further calculation of like D1 and D2. And I'm not going to explain what those are here. But essentially, it's delta and gamma. But that's a whole nother thing, not for the show. But you start to have to use this thing called volatility and how you calculate that volatility and the fact that volatility is oftentimes mispriced, especially the shorter time frame. You have these models that seem very simple, very basic, but they become very, very complex very quickly. And so for me, I just like being able to say, hey, this spread is going to expire in 2 or 3 weeks or maybe in a week. And it's pricing out as if it's out of the money right now. It's not pricing at full value. So I'm going to take a chance and buy this for undervalue, hoping that it expires fully in the money. So that's the thought process. Anyway, let's continue with the show. I'm sorry. I guess I'm in a good mood and a bit bubbly this Saturday morning and probably oversharing. So let's dive into this week's trades. But before we go, don't forget that yesterday, Friday, October the 15th was options expiration for all the monthly options in October. So if you had any monthly positions still on, they are either valued at their intrinsic value or they expired worthless yesterday. So all of our trades for the next few weeks will use the November 19th expiration date for monthly options in November. All right, let's look at the covered call. So our covered call this week is on a company I actually hadn't touched before, Progenity Inc., symbol P as in Papa, R as in Romeo, O as in Oscar, G as in Golf. The stock ended the week, this is a penny stock, it ended the week at $2.14 per share. You can look at buying stock and selling the November 2.5 call at 45 cents. That can create a 37.85% return in five weeks. So you enter this trade by buying stock for $2.14 and selling the November 2.5 call at 45 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $2.50 per share. The break-even price is $1.69 per share. In real terms, the stock purchase would require $214 and you would collect $45 for selling the option. And I love that. You're collecting almost 20% of option premium relative to the strike. Relative to the stock cost right off the bat. So unreal. All right, let's get into our next trade. It's the credit spread. Looking back at Occidental Petroleum, symbol O as in Oscar, X as in X-ray, Y as in Yankee. The stock ended the week at $31.66 per share. I'm looking at selling the November 31-30 put spread at 39 cents, which could give us a maximum possible loss of 61 cents. So you enter this trade by selling the November 31 put at $1.59 and concurrently buying the November 30 put for $1.20. This is a credit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $31 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $30.61 per share, and in real terms, you will collect $39 per spread that you sell and have $61 at risk. Then our final trade on the week is a debit spread. Looking at United States Oil Fund ETF, symbol U as in uniform, S as in Sierra, O as in Oscar. The stock ended the week at $57.15 per share. I'm looking at buying the November 56-57 call spread for 59 cents. That's 59 cents, which could give us a maximum gain of 41 cents, or that would be a 69.49% return on capital, almost 70% return on capital in five weeks. So you enter this trade by buying the November 56 call for $2.85 and concurrently selling the November 57 call at $2.26. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $57 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $56.59 per share, and in real terms, you will pay $59 to enter the spread, and your maximum gain is $41 per spread. Thank you guys so much for listening. That's it for this week's show. I am lining up a bit of a webinar, kind of a training in a couple of weeks. So for those of you who have asked if I am adding people to my coaching program or if I teach option trading, I do, and I will be soon. So definitely shoot me an email, or you can leave a comment, leave a message in the contact box on the website with your email address, and I'll respond so that I'll let you know when that's going to be in the coming weeks. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Gosh, it feels like I've already had coffee, and I haven't. Sorry for those of you who are not morning or like early birds. I am, so I'm full of energy right now. Maybe I should go for a run. But anyway, have a great week. And as always, happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.